Well, the King County Council is at it again, dealing with businesses in unincorporated King County, the parts of the county that the vast majority of the council don't really care about or talk about unless it's to tell them how to operate a business. Now we're looking at the what seems like the likelihood of a new minimum wage in unincorporated King County. Someone on the council actually does care about them because he represents them. It's King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
What's your just general take on this new position?
Well, it's a terrible idea, for starters. It's another one of the five or six holy grails of the quasi-socialist, democratic socialist progressive movement is to jack up minimum wages and, you know, put their price controls in place and tell employers what they can pay. This minimum wage increase is a more than $4 increase. It brings it up almost to $20, and that puts it, $4+ over the state minimum wage, well over the average minimum wage across the country. And it has a lot of profoundly negative policy implications I'm happy to talk about.
Well, it's also just about the same. It's actually a little bit more than Seattle.
Yeah, it is. And so there's a little issue here. It's basically taxation without representation. So the people proposing it, some of them have zero unincorporated area residents, right? It's much more conservative, much more rural, much more Republican out there. And what they're doing is they're imposing their will on a constituency that doesn't vote for them and only on the unincorporated areas. And so the downtown Seattle crowd is pushing this out as an experiment. What they want, of course, is nobody complaining out there about this issue. It's people in downtown Seattle pushing it. What they want is the next award at the Democrat Socialist Convention on how uber liberal they've gotten on this thing. And, of course, it's going to put businesses out of work. There's a quarter of a million people that live in unincorporated King County, represent nearly half of them. There's businesses out there. There's urban and rural unincorporated King County. There's small farms. There's independent businesses. There's small farmers markets. There's all kinds of things out there that aren't able to afford these dramatic increases. It hurts the economy. Those folks are going to have to pass the prices down to the consumer. We're already hurting with gas prices, thanks, Governor Inslee. We're already hurting with inflation. We're already hurting with rent control, housing, energy costs, you name it. Now we're going to be forced to pay people a whole lot more, and it isn't sustainable.
It's not sustainable, but it's going to happen, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the same conversation you and I had about forcing businesses to accept cash in unincorporated King County, we knew it was going to pass. We know this one's going to pass. So what exactly can be done here? Or is this merely a sit back, let them continue to wreck things and hope to God that voters make better decisions?
Well, you're right. I think they are probably going to get the votes to pass it through. However, I've just started rattling the saber with some of the businesses. Some of the major companies have, some chains have McDonald's, Taco Bell, some of the grocery store chains have businesses out there. And you're talking about, in some cases, hundreds of employees there. So it won't go down without a fight. But
doesn't that make it worse? Doesn't it make it worse? Because now you're going to do is some of your colleagues are going to look at these big corporations who clearly can afford it, even though they don't understand how any of this works.
No, they don't. None of them own or operated the business, to my knowledge. And very few of them, if any, have ever lived in unincorporated King County. You probably can't even tell you where it is. But the businesses, lobbies, industry associations, labor unions, those folks will be helpful, I think, in this process. But, yeah, I think it's probably going to pass at the end of the day because they don't care. The voters aren't going to vote for them. What I think the response is one of these days I'm going to run, and maybe sooner rather than later, an initiative to the people in unincorporated King County alone, asking them to roll back some of these councilmatic decisions. And it's a much more conservative electorate out there. And they don't like being told what to do by Seattle. And so one of these days I'm gonna get them back by just simply running an initiative. And the interesting thing is because of the population size, I only need about 7,000 signatures to put something on the ballot, and it's only voted on in unincorporated King County. So my warning shot to the uber liberal socialist folks on the King County Council is if you overplay your hand, we will respond and it will be nullified by a vote of the people. And we may put more things on the ballot, like, for example, homeless encampment and clearing ordinances. They kick homeless folks out of the unincorporated areas. And I'm thinking very seriously about doing that as well. And so we have something to say. We have a voice, but we'll have to get more into the guerrilla tactics to keep this up.
Councilmember Reagan Dunn joining me on the line. Why not just do that now? Why not just be proactive about it or preemptive? Again, you know it's going to happen, and you know they're not going to stop.
Right. First of all, the issue's moot until it becomes law. So I can't do anything yet.
Well, on some of these things you can do right now, right? I mean, you can do a homeless encampment one. You can do the cash only or cash accepted one.
Jason, make no mistake. The homeless encampment removal ordinance is already written, approved by legal counsel, run past key leaders. It's ready to rock and roll.
Good.
I think I'd like to have it on the 2024 ballot, not the 2023, because it turns out relatively conservative constituencies, and I think that helps overall on the political side of things. But yeah, I've got stuff ready to go in the pipeline. I want to, you know, in politics and in policy making, you got to find a wave to ride, and so
it's timing.
Part of me is waiting for the right wave to ride. But on this minimum wage thing, that's another interesting thing that's come up very quickly, and I think it's obviously a mistake. If you're a young person trying to get a job, you can forget it. What they're going to do is not going to hire a 16-year-old or 17-year-old. You have zero experience and zero efficiency. They're going to hire that 28-year-old with experience and keep them on. And we've already got a tough time with them. We're trying to get jobs, to get housing. It's not a good policy. A lot of studies show that higher minimum wage is dramatically hurt. That's not good public policy.
Yeah, I've got a good portion of a chapter in my forthcoming book on this very issue. And people seem to think that, like, the Seattle minimum wage hike was this huge win and a huge success. That's not what the data said then. The data is not changing. We know exactly what's going to happen here. When we look forward just in this upcoming election, it would appear, at least based on where we were with the primary, you're going to have Teresa Mosqueda as a colleague. She is currently a Seattle City Councilwoman who is very, very, very far to the left, best known, I think, for defending people who wanted to murder police officers. Like, when you look at the future makeup, doesn't it seem to suggest that it's going to be more radical than it currently is?
Yeah, probably so. And, you know, it's been going that way for years. When I first got on the council, it was 7 Democrats to 6 Republicans, and now it's almost nothing left. Southeastern County remains a stronghold, thank goodness, to Enumclaw and Black Diamond and areas like that. But, yeah, it bothers me a lot. We're going to see a lot of this, and I think it's important to have an experienced councilman who knows how to run these initiatives. I would say that they're coming and that we're going to have to fight. And if we don't push back at some point in time, we'll see more of this, because this isn't the first time this happened. They just did a crazy rent control system that goes well beyond state law and unincorporated King County. People are selling their houses. They don't want to rent them. They're taking advantage of the high cost. There's this incredible, there's this vicious employment discrimination, Title VIII, woke enforcement team that goes out there and harasses businesses and well beyond reason, in my opinion. And, of course, you've got this minimum wage law. You've got them deliberately pushing homeless folks out of the woods instead of being seen on the streets of Seattle. And so there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's wrong, and we need to fight.
Last topic for you. I just want your take on the University of Washington study that says, despite the fact that all King County Metro buses, 100%, had exposure to meth smoke and 98% exposure to meth residue, when it came to fentanyl, the number was, I believe it was 48% and 50% respectively, or 25% respectively. But everything is cool. All is well. It's totally safe. Stop your whining and stop your complaining, except the people who are smoking drugs of their choices on the bus. What is your reaction to that?
I read Lindblom's article for the first two paragraphs. I read the headline in the first two paragraphs, and I just rolled my eyes like you did. You know, okay, fentanyl smoke, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Remember what they did when they wanted to outlaw smoking and cigarettes? Oh, the secondhand smoke, it's killing babies and all this stuff. You know, but now it's drugs. Obviously worse, not better. Oh, it's fine. You know, it's just a double standard. It's, again, more of the pro-homelessness, pro-drug, pro-decriminalization, which is just devastating policy. Look at the murder rate in King County. Look at the property crime rate in King County. It's not working. It's not going to work. There's nothing they're going to do that's going to make the system better. And obviously, Metro Transit and Sand Transit need to have a much more robust policing presence. You have to enforce your FAIR policy. You have to arrest people who are violating your FAIR policy. You have to arrest people who are doing drugs in the open on the buses. It's really simple. Enforce your laws. You do that, you clean up the buses very, very quickly, within weeks, especially if you couple it with a public awareness campaign and show arrest and prosecution. That's how you do it. That's how I would do it if I were the executive. I wish I had that power. I don't. Not that I'm running, but it's just a mess, friend. And we got a long ways to go. Hugging criminals and feeling more sorry for the criminals than the victims is not ever going to work.
No kidding. And of course, we're almost certainly this month going to exceed last year's historic high fatal overdose death count. We were at 1,000 last year. We're hovering in the 950s right now, 950, 960. We're almost certainly going to beat that by the end of the month, if not by the end of this month, within a couple weeks of then. It's tragic, and yet that's the county and state that we live in. King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn is one guy who's fighting the good fight. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, it's time for some quick hits.